The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, on Sports360AZ.com. And, of course, streaming now on AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us. We're on White Mountain Radio as well and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Hope you're having a great Thursday. However you're consuming the show, taking it in, thanks for being with us. For those of you just finding us for the first time on AZ Central, we are on sports360az.com. I walked away from television. I said, I've got to be more with my family, do my thing, which I do on a daily basis right here from our Skyview Satellite Studios. And every day we put out sports stuff that we see around the great state of Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central as we provide content for them and them for us. It's the way it works. On the show today, Paul Coro will be with us. Paul had a late night. Do we know, Eric, what time Paul even got in from that game? Is he going to be any good today on the air? Do you think he's going to be just, I don't know, sounding just awful?
I called him this morning hoping that I wasn't going to wake him up. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've been up. I just got out of the gym. And I'm like, wow, you are a far more inspired person than I am in the morning.
Man. So well, he's got to cover the Suns. And if he could make it through the absolute train wreck of last year.
He said he was going to go home after his workout and take a nap and then come on the show.
Well, I could put him in the nap when he comes on the show. I'm very good at that, some people say. You just put me to sleep, Brad. You're just awful. It's fine. It's fine. Knock yourselves out. Paul Coro will be with us on the Suns and where they are. The halfway mark of the season last night. Look, a year ago, actually 3 years ago, I was sitting on the TV end of things saying, please trade Steve Nash. Please go be very bad now. Please be awful. And they wouldn't do it because they were so worried about their bottom line. So we had to sit here through this period of just wretched basketball and awful decisions. But now I'm very happy. Who wouldn't be happy? I've been happy with everything the Suns have done since about, well, I'd say about mid-June. Yeah, even a little bit before that. It's been a good 9 months, I'd say. So the win last night was so convincing. We'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. Clark Judge, all things NFL around the Super Bowl. Clark Judge, 30 years covering the National Football League. Clark's a Hall of Fame voter as well. He's got to sit in that room next week, and Aeneas Williams' name is on the ballot again. What if Kent Summers is going to present Aeneas? I think Kent's done it the last couple of years. So we'll talk with Clark around the NFL. The weather's not supposed to be bad if we go by Weather Channel and all that. So we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. And then Eddie House is going to be with us. Casa. Eddie House is, he's. Do you feel old when you hear of Eddie House, Eric, going to have his jersey retired, hung in the rafters and all that stuff?
No, because I can still remember the 61-point night against Cal like it was last night. I remember I was at a friend's house, and we just kind of had the game on in the background, and we were just sort of had it on, and we were doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And then we just gravitated towards the TV in the second half, where it's like, oh, my gosh, this guy cannot miss. Like, everywhere he's shooting from, the ball's going in, inside, outside, on the break, over seven-footer, through the lane.
I got to believe he could still play. I don't know if he's working out or not.
Don't know.
He's in his mid-30s, I think, now. And the NBA has so many teams that aren't good at all. But he's related to Mike Bibby and Mike Bibby Jr. So on the high school, I got to ask him. And, of course, if I say, do you think he's a good player? He's going to say, well, no, I don't. So it's along those lines of, do you think that Junior from Team Dime can be as good as Dad? Or does Junior go school you in the backyard and all that? So there's a lot to get to with Eddie House. That's on Saturday at the ASU game. And that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun. With that, let's get over to our Facebook question of the day. Eric Sorensen with our Facebook question of the day. Fire away.
Only makes sense, Brad. Today's Facebook question of the day involves the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if you're aware, but you did say the midpoint of the season is upon us. The Suns have 24 wins.
Yeah.
All of last season, your Phoenix Suns had 25 wins.
No, your Phoenix Suns, not mine.
25 wins.
They're only mine when they win.
So the next time the Suns win, which could be tomorrow against Washington, they will have equaled their total from all of last season. Today we ask you, the Suns are 24-17. Who are the people most responsible for the turnaround? This is a multiple choice.
Yeah.
A, the players.
Mm-hmm.
B, Jeff Hornacek and his staff. C, Ryan McDonough and the front office. Head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like our page. Share your input. We have a question up every day, Monday through Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. And today, only fitting that it's around the Suns.
So what you want to know is it coaching more important than players? You see, in the NBA, I think the coach has got to be able to motivate these guys and get them and have good guys. They didn't have good guys last year.
No.
They didn't have good guys for a couple of years. And we'll talk more with Paul Kor about it. They've got good guys now, but you know, the Markieff Morris had Stiff written all over him a year ago. And now you see with Marcus and Markieff together, now that's an organizational thing. That's one of those deals you give them credit for. For all the times I banged on Robert Sarver's head about the dumb decisions they made down there, they've actually done some smart things. They didn't sign Amari to an extension, which were all these nitwits that wanted Amari signed to a big extension.
Yep.
How would you like that contract right about now?
Sarver hired McDonough, who hired Hornacek, and you know, McDonough made the trade with Indiana, and everything kind of has fallen into place.
Yeah,
but
yes.
The players deserve a ton of credit too, because they're the one that's going out there and executing the game plan and getting the 24 wins.
Well, you have to have the right players.
Right.
You have to. You can't just, if you just roll the ball out, it's like Eric Spoelstra with the Heat. Yeah, he's got LeBron James. How can you screw that up? Well, you have all these other guys you have to manage too. Or Indiana last night. I like that question. That's fine. That's facebook.com/sports360az. More on the Suns here in a couple of minutes. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. And it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, just outside of Pine Top. Guys, around the state, wherever you're consuming us, get on up to the Honda Resort and Casino at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Sunrise is making snow every night, so you can take in some skiing. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down the slots, get up to the high country where it feels great. Easy drive, and it's so nice in Sholo and Pine Top and that area. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Great food, great place to stay. Pull down the slots, head on up to Sunrise. You can make it all work. What a great weekend idea. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. The weather in I'm no weather guy. We were ripping on weather guys the other day. The weather is supposed to be 47 degrees and sunny. What I don't know is wind as of yet. This is the 10-day forecast predicting out. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be the miserable forecast that I was quite frankly hoping for. I'd love to see it in the snow. I'd love to see it in the wind. I think a forecast like that favors Denver. If it's really bad conditions, I think it favored Seattle. And I could be wrong on that. We have plenty of guests that will be on this week and next week around the Super Bowl. The other story around the Super Bowl that just won't go away is Richard Sherman. I know that every day that story takes on a different twist. Yesterday, it was the Richard Sherman thought idea that thug is the same as using the N-word nowadays.
The only reason it bothers me is because it seems like it's the accepted way of calling somebody the N-word nowadays. You know, it's like everybody else said the N-word, and then they say thug, and they're like, oh, that's fine. And that's where it's kind of, you know, it kind of takes me aback, and it's kind of disappointing because they know. What's the definition of a thug, really?
So, of course, as we said on Monday, this is going to evolve into race on some people's minds, and we had Seth Joyner on Monday talking about this. Here's the backlash that Richard Sherman has faced from Sunday.
Everybody was surprised by it. You know, I think I was a little surprised by it, you know, because we're talking about football here. And, you know, a lot of people took it a little further than football. And, you know, I guess some people showed, you know, how far we've really come in this day and age. And it was kind of profound, kind of what happened and people's opinions and things of that nature.
Just line up across from Demaryius Thomas and I'll be happy, because that's what it's all about. Get me on the field, Richard Sherman. This is very easy, low-hanging fruit for a couple of weeks to fill shows, to fill papers. But at the end of the day, what's it going to be like on Sunday when Richard Sherman is lined up across from Thomas and there's Peyton Manning on the field? Let's just get to the X and O part of this. I know we have a lot of time, and this story over the next 9 days, we have 9 days more of this where this story is going to be hanging around every day. Here's Jake Plummer, who was with us yesterday. Jake on Richard Sherman.
You know, you're caught in the moment of this huge, you know, humongous moment where it's heated and competitive and there's fans screaming, and, you know, it's bound to happen. Some guys can control it. But, you know, I love that he was just caught up in the moment. And the moment was a grand moment in his life, and he's been through a lot. I guarantee you there's, for every 5,000 people that can't stand Richard Sherman, there's 5,000 kids growing up in Compton that want to be just like him. And that's awesome. He's going to aspire, you know, those kids are going to aspire to be him and to to know what he went through and know that it took a lot of hard work and sacrifice.
That was Jake Plummer with us. Around the Super Bowl, so Bovada came up earlier today. Eric and I were talking about the crazy Super Bowl bets. The fun stuff is now out. I haven't gone through all of them yet. Have we seen one that said the over-under on the number of times Peyton Manning will say Omaha? Because that would be a really fun drinking game for those of you that like to consume beverages during the course of Super Bowl. They'll have it mic'd up real loud. Omaha, which we use now on the show whenever we screw something up. We just say Omaha because it's changing out.
I've got it here. I do have it.
You have it now.
Yep, 27.5 is the over-under on number of times Peyton Manning says Omaha.
And we're not joking.
27.5.
We're not joking. That's actually up on Vegas now. Is that Bovada?
Someone tweeted it to me.
Yeah.
But the person who tweeted it to me gambles quite a bit, so I'm guessing it's accurate.
That's what I like. Nice to know you, associate. It's good to get
I can't control what my friends do. I cannot control what my friends do. But yeah, if there's so many prop bets, Brad.
Well, I like this one. There's over 300. And just briefly, here's a couple of them that came out earlier this morning. Will the power go out in the stadium during the game? You can bet on that one this year. I think that's funny. It's 25-1. How long will it take Renee Fleming to sing the national anthem?
Who?
Renee Fleming. Over 2 minutes, 30 seconds is even money right now. Under 2 minutes, 30 seconds, minus 140. Will Renee Fleming wear gloves when she starts singing the national anthem? You can bet on this.
Will the announcers refer to Russell Wilson being drafted in Major League Baseball? I'm not even making this stuff up.
No, here's a better one. Will no Sean Marino cry during the singing of the national anthem? That's up on the board.
Oh, boy.
How many times will Eli Manning be shown on TV during the game? What will be said more during the game? Reference to Denver Bronco, number one, or best offense, or reference to Seattle Seahawk, or best defense? Which coach will be mentioned first by name after kickoff? You can bet on that. Will it be Pete Carroll? Will it be John Fox? Who will be seen first on TV after the kickoff? Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver? Which one will they go to first?
Aaron Andrews. Who will Barack Obama pick to win the game?
Is that one there?
Yes.
How many times will 12th man be said during the game? How many times will beast mode be said during the game? Now, the over-under on that one is 2. I'm thinking that one, that's a hard one. If the weather were bad, I'd say it would be said quite a bit.
Correct.
I'm wondering how many times Joe Buck goes through these and says, I got to work beast mode in there 3 times. I'll take the over. I don't know. So there's some fun stuff there. The Pro Bowl came out last night, and we had said it would be fun if there was a Cardinal against a Cardinal, and Larry Fitzgerald was chosen by one team and Patrick Peterson on the other. Now, I don't know if they're just going to grab each other, push each other, like high school buddies.
Of course, it's the Pro Bowl. That's what all players do.
Or if Patrick's just going to lay him out, you know, just deck him, just cold cock, I don't know. But they are on different teams because they're unconferenced. On the other side, plenty to get to in today's show, but on the other side, the Suns, what can you say about last night? 62 points in the first half against Indiana. Paul Coro, AZ Central Suns insider. He joins us next. The bottom of the hour, Clark Judge, all things NFL, and Eddie House. Casa will be with us as well. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. Also on azcentral.com, you can reach me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Except for that one stretch where we were making silly fouls and putting them to the free throw line, my guys played a great game. I thought they played hard. We made 11 threes, which we needed to make shots against this team, but we only took 16. It wasn't like we were just jacking them up, so we took good shots.
Head coach Jeff Hornacek there as the Suns come away with a victory last night, 124-100 over the Indiana Pacers. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. Appreciate you taking us in, watching us as we do our thing on Sports 360 AZ and also on AZ Central Sports. Paul Coro joins us now for a couple of minutes. AZ Central Sports Suns insider. A late night last night. Appreciate you joining us this morning and halfway through the season. Is surprise the only word you can use to sum it up for where they are today, Paul?
Yeah, if you try to play it off like any of this was anything but a surprise, that would be disingenuous. I mean, we we all at training camp, those of us that were there regularly, saw promising things in each of these things, but nothing that you would guess would sustain a playoff team for the whole season. I mean, these were all guys that were in bigger roles, being asked more than they've been ever asked in their careers, and all of the, and hadn't played together with a new coach. It was just too much to fathom clicking right away, but it happened.
Is Jeff Hornacek, in your opinion, top 1-2 for Coach of the Year right now?
I have a top three group. I think him, Frank Vogel, and Terry Stotts. Certainly last night makes a good head-to-head case for Hornacek with the way they played that game. And I don't necessarily favor one of those guys ahead of Hornacek, though, because I think maybe I see too much of it in Tukoy and respect how much he's done, but they were picked to finish last in the West. They were picked to finish bottom three in the league by everyone. And 10, 11 brand-new players, and he's got them, you know, going through Bledsoe's injuries, Dragic's injuries, and to be where they are. Where, you know, Terry Stotts had a pretty good team already, and it was one that was mostly coming back. Frank Vogel, same thing. And both of those teams added quality players to what they had. So I think, as far as achieving more with what he had and surprising people, definitely Hornacek's a front runner to me.
What is he doing? I mean, I know it sounds very basic, but what is he doing? Because Eric's Facebook question today is asking, you know, bigger surprises at the players, or do you give credit to the players? Do you give credit to Ryan McDonough? Do you give credit to the coach? You can't really parse them all out one by one, but Jeff is doing something, and his staff is doing something. It's maybe the staff more than Jeff himself. You know how coaching staffs work. What is going on with Jeff?
Right. You definitely hit a couple key points there. One, he has an excellent vision with Ryan McDonough. They're in line, and that coach GM dynamic is so key. And we didn't see that here in the past. You know, Lance Blink, Alvin Gentry didn't have it. Steve Kerr, Mike D'Antoni didn't have it. They did Kerr and Gentry had a good chemistry, and before that. So, and then the flip side, which you also mentioned, was the assistants. You know, these guys came in the summer league and we all worked together. And you don't see a full coaching staff at summer league ever, but they were starting to put in what their principles were going to be, what they expected of guys. Some of those guys that played summer carried over to training camp, and Mike Longobardi's brought over the defensive principles that he learned from Thibodeau. So now the defense has improved to where they're close to top 10 field goal percentage in the league. Definitely with Bledsoe, they're a top 10, top 5 type defense in that regard. But more than anything, he gives everybody confidence and freedom. And the thing that strikes me most about the way Hornacek coaches, he's just got a great calm and demeanor about him. He keeps players comfortable. He keeps them confident, but he also keeps them in check. You know, he's not afraid to jump on guys, yell at guys, pull them if they're not playing well, and put in someone else.
Well, let me go back on something you said there. In the front office dynamic, I was just thinking, so when Brian Colangelo was with Mike D'Antoni, that was pretty good. And obviously
right.
A completely different set of players. It takes time to develop it. Do you see any parallels in the early going with Hornacek and McDonough in the way that they're working versus back when it was a functional franchise rather than the last 6 years of just absolute dysfunction?
Yeah, definitely. They're on the same page. They see basketball the same way. Both of them have great, you know, and some of those ones in the past, I've always pointed out, it's really a shame that D'Antoni and Kerr didn't have a better chemistry together.
Yeah.
Because those are two of the most amiable guys in the NBA, you know, off the court. And it was just, when you come in as a coach and then a GM comes in, you're not his guy. And right now, Hornacek is McDonough's guy because they came in together. So this is their ship that they're building together. And, you know, they meet all the time. And, you know, that goes for the whole staff, Pat Conley, assistant GM, and Trevor Buchstein, another assistant GM. Those guys have all done great jobs in the front office in their different roles. And, you know, I mentioned Longobardi, but Kenny Gattison, Mark West, Jerry Seasting, all very key parts to where all this is working. And the players love those coaches. You talk to the players about Hornacek, they will run through a wall for him. And, and a lot of it is because they've all been given better opportunities than they've ever had in their career.
You've been on the beat. How many years now, Paul?
Actually, the Big 10 year is coming up in about a week.
Okay, so 10 years that you've been there. Do you feel like, as you and I have talked through the years of the frustration and just how awful and how wretched and how poorly run things were there the last several years, do you feel like now as you walk through there that things are, they're competent in all facets of the organization, on the court, off the court, that they've got it figured out? Because from my view, I'm starting to go that direction, but you're closer to it than me. I see all the draft picks loaded up. I see the cap space loaded up. I see a team that is a playoff team right now in the back end of the playoffs. That's fine. But I still see a lot of progress, much faster than I thought that we would. But I'm just curious, from your end, do you see things top to bottom in this organization as competent now?
Yeah, and I made the point this season that whether they won or not, it was going to be a better feel to this team and this franchise. They were headed the right way. They
right.
could have gone 25-57 again, and it would have had a totally better feel about it because of the way they were building things, the camaraderie, the chemistry between departments. And then, you know, it's not to say that there was not some good things about the franchise before. You know, the athletic training staff is the best in the league.
True,
by far.
Sure.
You know, there's parts of the basketball operations that were very good in the previous room, you know, just not from the top. But, you know, guys like Trevor Buxton and John Treloar are carryovers from that. But those were, you know, Mark West has been here all that time. So there were pieces, but they just, you know, what really changed was the leadership, bringing in Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek. And the job McDonough did in flipping the roster in the offseason, you look back, he made 4 trades in the offseason, and every one of them looks like gold right now. You know, even you could argue a little bit that, you know, the Washington one you don't know yet because the Wizards got Gortat and the Suns just get a pick, but
right.
that's what opened up the spot for Plumlee. And is Gortat the type of guy that kind of unsettles the chemistry in the locker room because he's always, you know, trying to be the man and trying to take control, you know, and wanting more touches and that sort of thing. And now you've got a guy like Plumlee who's perfect for the way they play.
I guess what I'm getting to is it time to start giving Robert Sarver some credit after, and some fans are going to hate hearing that, but facts are facts. He was right in not giving Amari an extension. Anybody who wants to argue that now just isn't dealing with reality. When he's made some things happen behind the scenes that, for all the banging on the head that I've given him, I think you've got to give him some credit, or start giving him some credit, that he's getting things going in the right way, and I'm not seeing him as much.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think the positioning of the seating is symbolic in the change over the years. He's not front row, center court, yelling, standing up, and he's over in the corner, a little bit more subdued, a little bit more out of sight. But you're right, you know, the Amari move looked at the right one. He stepped in at times on, you know, as much as some people don't want owners to step in on basketball decisions, he makes the last call on everything because it's his team.
Right.
And there's been a couple of occasions where he, you know, overstepped the GM's vote, and one of them was Goran Dragic, you know, when a lot of the front office wanted Raymond Felton. And that's been a perfect decision. The GM, you know, a lot of people felt like Jeff Weltman was the front runner coming into that process because of his ties to Babby in the past. And McDonough came in and blew him away on the interview, and Robert wanted him. And Ron Babby and Robert Sarver end up choosing him.
Yeah, and I just think it's time to maybe give Robert a little bit. I'm not saying that they're out of the woods yet, because I'm not willing to forgive all the years of bad decisions and bad basketball and just poorly running of a franchise. But I do think it's time to start saying, okay, they're getting there and there's some competency being shown, and I like the direction they're going. They're not going to make anything happen at the deadline, are they?
I don't think so. I mean, everything you see out there that's rumor mill stuff is pretty much false from what I can tell so far.
Yeah.
Everybody can play trade machine on ESPN.com now and find a place to put it, and it doesn't mean it has any teeth. And
sure.
You know, the Suns are a favorite team to play with because they've got cap space, they've got Okafor's expiring contract, but they're not going to do anything. It's unlikely that they would do anything for the short term to compromise the long term. The only thing I could see them doing before the trade deadline is maybe taking on somebody with an expiring contract that just is going to help them push through this season, you know, if they're in a position to do that. But if it's anybody that has some contract passes here, They're not going to do that.
Before I let you go, and this may be a tough one for you to figure out or put a finger on, who's the one guy you look at in this roster that you're saying to yourself, self, I didn't see this coming from this player. Is it Gerald Green? Is it someone else? Plumlee? Anybody?
Probably Gerald Green, because I don't mean to bang my chest here, but I really saw this coming with Miles Plumlee during training camp. And I didn't know that he was going to wind up a starter because I didn't know Gore Tyler was going to be traded 5 days before. But he was playing like this all of training camp. It wasn't a surprise. Gerald Green is, I think, the shocker because that guy's been up and down his whole career. I didn't even know if he would have a rotation spot on this team. If you look back to how many wings they had in the roster during training camp, you know, like media day, he walked around and nobody was talking to him because he was just kind of the throw-in on the trade that got him a first-round pick in Plumlee.
Mm-hmm.
They had to take his contract from the Pacers. And that's a guy who shot 36% last year from the field, and now he's saved their bacon because he started most of their games because of the Dragic and Bledsoe injuries, and they wouldn't be where they are if he's not, you know, filling up the scoring column and getting down and running with them.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time, as always. Stay well. Thanks.
All right, take care, Brad. Good seeing you.
You too.
See you the other day.
Yep, Paul Coro. Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports columnist. Yeah, I saw Paul the other day. I like it when a guy works as hard as Paul, and he's at his daughter's high school basketball game at the Martin Luther King Classic, and he's wearing a high school basketball jersey. He's a hoopaholic, one, but dad, he's out there supporting her, and then he does a great job with the Suns. He finds a way to make it all work. On the other side, Clark Judge, all things NFL with Clark. He's a Hall of Fame voter, Hall of Fame next week. Aeneas Williams' name will be in the middle of that mix. I'm sure Clark's got some thoughts on the Richard Sherman deal. 30 years covering the NFL with Clark Judge. That's next. Eddie House in about 20 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com is our site. And of course, appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports as well. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
All things NFL now around the National Football League with Clark Judge. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ, now part of AZ Central Sports on a daily basis for a couple of hours to carry the show. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Clark getting ready for the Super Bowl. You're in New York. Do you know the forecast? Do you care about the forecast? What are you hearing back there?
Yeah, I care about the forecast. I know a little bit about it. I think they're talking mid-30s. A chance of snow showers, but snow showers is not snowfall, so... honestly, I think it looks like the NFL may luck out. We're talking about snow. I think the next possible snow is Monday, but you know that's when people are getting in. It makes a big deal for them, but not for the NFL because that's days away from the game. And I think the next possibility is Friday before the game, but again, that gives them a couple days to get ready. As I said, I think the forecast for that day right now is mid-30s and partly cloudy, chance of snow showers.
Who does that favor, in your opinion? Anybody? Anybody have a favor?
No, I don't think so. I mean, people say, oh, it favors the Broncos because, you know, they're used to that weather. Well, wait a second. Let's roll out the Peyton Manning sub-32 or sub-40-degree wet record again. I mean, it's all things to all people. And honestly, Seattle plays in inclement weather, too. Granted, it's not sub-freezing there, but, you know, it's overcast and raining. So I don't think it favors either one.
Wind, do you know anything about the wind? Because I think the wind is more of a factor.
It is. Yeah, the wind is more of a factor. I don't know, Brad, but I will tell you, and you know this, I think, as well as I, the Meadowlands, where the Giants play, and that's the area of the Meadowlands, and the Jets play, it's known for gusty winds, and it's very difficult at times to throw and kick there. I've been there when the winds have been terrific. I don't know what that is for Super Bowl Sunday, but I agree with you. I think that's more important than the temperature.
Let's bounce around a whole bunch of things with Clark Judge around the NFL. So eliminating the extra point being floated by Commissioner Goodell, big deal or not a big deal?
Oh, I think it's a big deal because you're flirting with the game. I mean, you're tinkering with the game, and I don't like it. I mean, honestly, I don't like it. It's a gimme, but I mean, so was that field goal that Dallas was supposed to try when Romo fumbled the snap, and that was an extra point essentially. But hey, you know, it can happen. So I don't like that. I mean, so now, would you want to phase the kickers out of the game? I don't think that's a good idea. I think the fact that they're floating it out there means they want to sort of test the temperature of the room, but I don't think that's going
to
fly.
Okay, so I'm the one that always tries to link changes in the game nowadays to concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And the kickoff already, for the most part, has been eliminated because we almost always have touchbacks.
Right.
And so is this just another step? You brought it up earlier, eliminating the kicker. Is this just another little step of saying, well, we don't have extra points, and we'll just put the ball at the 20-yard line, and we don't need kickers anymore?
Right. Yeah, I think you talk to any special teams coach out there, And that's what I'll tell you. I mean, I remember when they said, we're going to move the ball 5 yards forward, and there were numbers of special teams coaches who said, this is where they're going.
Yeah.
It's not concussions they're concerned about. They want to eliminate the kickoff, and eventually they want to get rid of the kicker. I think that's a mistake. After all, it is football. And I think that, you make the specialist, and the specialist is part of the game. And special teams are part of the game, an important part of the game as well. I think more important now that the teams are fairly balanced. So, I think that seems to be the direction. But as I said, I just don't think this is going to fly. Too many purists will say, no, I don't think so.
Hall of Fame vote. You're in the room. Aeneas Williams is on the ballot. We always ask
on
about
the edge. Yeah, he's on the edge. I mean, I hope he makes it, Brad. He's going to make it someday. I hope it's a week from Saturday.
You're convinced, though, someday he's going to make it.
Yes, because he's been so close. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you precisely what's going on in there because we're not supposed to, but he's been very, very close the last couple years. And I think the longer he stays in line there, people look at him and say, why is this guy waiting? He's been in the queue for a while. This guy needs to move forward. And I talked to Aeneas about a month ago or so, and we talked to him about the possibility of getting in, whether he thought that playing for the Cardinals for those many years when they weren't very good held him back. And honestly, I think in some eyes of the voters, it does hold him back a little bit. Not mine, but you got to say, wait a second, this guy was a special player. I mean, we talked last week to Ty Law, and he brought up Aeneas Williams. He said, listen, if you're a Hall of Fame player, you're a Hall of Fame player. I don't care who you're playing for. This guy was special, an extraordinary player on a team that wasn't very good. And then when he moved to the Rams, yeah, he got some notice, but he'd been a good player for a long time. So, Brad, I do think he's getting in. I can't tell you he's getting in this year because I think there are three sort of slam dunks, maybe a fourth who's pretty close. Then the fifth is a wild card. I hope he's the wild card.
Yeah. No, I know you can't divulge it in what goes on in the room. It's just fascinating to me that he's still sitting on the outside looking in. Richard Sherman, to me, exemplifies what I want to see in a football player for 60 minutes. He didn't exemplify what I want to see of a football player following a game. In our profession, we love to have that, but I also understand that in the heat of the moment, I have no problem with him saying what he said. It's just, could you have been a little bit more humble? Sure you could have, but I've seen guys lose their minds before. I've had Seth Joyner on this week, Jake Plummer on this week. They both said the same thing. When a game is over, and in his case, he's going to the Super Bowl, you're probably going to be so amped out, you don't really think much of it. Are you surprised that this backlash is still going on?
No, I'm not, because it's a dead week. We don't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not surprised. I'm glad to see your take on it, honestly. I heard some people saying, it's such a relief to hear somebody do that. But the fact of the matter is, you can defend him from this vantage point, which you just did. Heat of the moment, he just made a big play. They stick a mic in his face. Listen, he's a volatile guy anyway. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he's a talkative guy. But you stick a mic in his face, what do you think's going to happen? Well, the chances are you might get something like that. And Fox clearly doesn't have a conscience about this because they got a soundbite. And if the soundbite's being played over and over again, and in terms of Richard Sherman, yeah, I think you got to be smarter than that. I mean, do you expect Peyton Manning to go up there and say, hey, Tom Brady stinks. He stinks. You don't expect that from
him. We'd love that.
I mean, people would love that if he did that. And they say, well, that makes Peyton Manning bland. Well, honestly, that's why I think a guy like Peyton Manning is sort of a classy guy. I want to see somebody who's a winner take the win and move forward. This guy just won a game. He wasn't a loser. He won the game. So what do you think Michael Crabtree had to say? Michael Crabtree, as you know, has a diva reputation. But he took the high road. I don't know if you saw the quotes afterwards, but he took the high road, partly because it was after the moment. He had some time to think about it, and somebody obviously had gotten to him. But, yeah, this is the danger you get when you stick a mic in a guy's face immediately after the game. And as I said, Fox looks at it and goes, hey, we got a great soundbite.
Yeah, that's why they brought him back to sit with Terry Bradshaw, and then they brought him back on set. And I didn't hear from Marshawn Lynch, and I know Lynch isn't talking, but guys, I got it. You got what you wanted. You're wanting more. He's not going to give you any more.
And that's why he's going to draw a crowd on Media Day, honestly.
Oh, I mean, he'll be crazy.
Manning versus Richard Sherman, and he's liable to say anything. But as I said, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
But he's got decided opinions about certain things, and that I've heard him say, oh, I shouldn't have said it, and then say, well, I don't have anything to be apologetic for. Actually, I think you do. I really think you do. Just take the high road. You shouldn't have said it and move forward.
Well, he's set up for his post-NFL career. When you talk about the smart guy,
right?
The smart guy, that network executives are always looking for that next guy that's going to get on set and say something in his nice suit and is going to show up for rehearsal and is going to be into it. So when he's done playing, he's got his demo tape, he's good to go. There's not a problem there. And that's the smartness of him. That, look, I got the biggest audience ever. Whether he put that in his mind or not, it came out to a huge audience, so he's set up for life now off that one thing, because there'll be a network that'll
hire him. I'll guarantee he wasn't thinking about that at that time. As you said, he was sort of in the moment. But you're right. I mean, here's a guy who's a terrific player who, when he retires, people look at him and say, hey, listen, you know, he's a pretty good talker, but he's also controversial. He's not afraid to call out somebody. So why not put him on camera?
I like the, I don't know if you've seen the Bovada bets that have come out today, the prop bets. And you know, this is kind of fun. Will Michael Crabtree mention Richard Sherman in a tweet during the Super Bowl from kickoff until the final whistle? And you can actually bet on that. Will Richard Sherman be interviewed on the field after the game by Aaron Andrews on Live Fox? And it's got to be live pictures only. Or will it be a manager's decision to book him? I mean, you can. This is all up in Vegas now. So they've taken the whole Sherman thing and turned it into a cottage industry, which I think is kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, just another reason why I don't bet, Brad.
No, I don't bet either, but I think it's fun.
It's fun, but I mean, I look at that, and you're right. It just turned into a cottage industry, and someone had a clever idea and said, let's run with it, and it is a clever idea, but I'm not going to be part of it.
Larry Fitzgerald against Patrick Peterson in the Pro Bowl. So I could care less about the Pro Bowl. I know the number will be great, that people will watch it. Does the unconference thing do anything for you?
I don't know that the number will be great because it hasn't been in the past. I don't know that this is going to inject any enthusiasm. I think anything they could do to change it would be a good idea. I think people might watch out of curiosity and just see what goes on. I mean, there's a perfect case in point. You hear two teammates you talked about going to each other, and so that's a little bit different. Now, it's not a little bit different. It's a lot different. And I think people look at it and say, hey, what do we got here? But in the end, people say, you know, it's just another Pro Bowl, and it's sort of like touch football. And why should I care because I've got a dead weekend? Maybe I should go out and take a walk and wait for the Super Bowl a week from now. So I don't think it makes a difference. Honestly, I think in 5-10 years, something like that, we'll be talking about the banquet in Hawaii, not the game.
Yeah, no, but this is it for the Pro Bowl, I think. I can't see how they're going to do anything else. If this doesn't do a number this year, then it is time to pull the plug.
Yeah, and I don't know that. I mean, I think it is time to pull the plug, honestly.
I do, too.
It's a game with not much interest, and look at the numbers of players who don't go, you know, and so you see the numbers of players who are going in as, oh, this guy's name is first alternate, second alternate, third alternate. Tom Brady never goes. He just never goes. And Peyton Manning, to his credit, always did, but, you know, it's just a game that's sort of meaningless, and it's not very good.
I'll let you go off that. I'll talk next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, all things NFL. Interesting there on Aeneas Williams. Clark's going to be in the room on that one. And I hope Aeneas gets in. I really do. Eddie House on the other side, Casa, having his uniform retired. And that's on Saturday. So from ASU. And Eddie's right here in the Valley. I want to talk to Eddie House next, what he's up to, and much more. That's with Eddie House next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, and on azcentral.com as well.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday, Brad Sussmat, sports360az. Appreciate having a good time with Clark Judge there. Now, Eddie House joins us for a couple of minutes. Saturday night, this is one of those events that if you're a basketball fan at all, Eddie House put up great numbers at ASU. A lot of fun to watch him play back in the day, his number 5 jersey being retired. I feel old. I was telling Eric this morning. That means, Eddie, you've got to be, what, in your mid-30s now? Could you still play in the NBA?
Could I still play the NBA? Yeah, that's a good question. I believe I can, but, you know, Father Time, he does not play around. He's undefeated. But at the same time, you know, I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. And if, you know, put my mind to it on the grind, because, I mean, my mind is pretty much I'm retired. But I think I can still get out there and play. I can shoot the ball, so I can run to the corner and shoot.
Well, I know you're going to be able to shoot when you're 60, so not a question about it. But are you working out now for a team, looking at the postseason possibly, or are you just flat out done?
No, it's done. I haven't played in a couple of years now, so it's, you know, it's pretty much a done idea.
Yeah, so when you watch the game, it's, I could still play, but then your brain takes over and says, well, no, you can't.
No, I mean, I could go out there and still play. It's just the fact that, you know, I just haven't got any calls in the last couple of years. When I was making a push to try to come back after I had my knee surgery, you know, I wasn't getting any calls. So, it was, you know, at that time, you have to say, hey, you know, it was a good run, 11 years. And, you know, it was a lot of fun and a lot of good memories and good times, and got a championship out of it. But hey, it's over. That comes to an end. Unfortunately, that's what happened.
When you see the game now, Do you like the game? Is the quality different? I know Kobe's in the news today talking about flagrant fouls are now touch fouls, and he's just ripping on the league. Do you like the game as you see it?
Well, I've seen the game change. I was right there at the end of that era where it was super rough, you know, the Knicks and the Heat, you know, the Knicks and the Bulls. I came in right there where they started to change the rules a little bit. So I've seen one year when it was, you know, the old style of play and then how it changed and adapted. It really helped a lot of players. And it has helped Kobe a lot as well, though. A guy like Kobe, when you're not able to touch him and get physical with him at times, they call fouls, get him to the free throw line. That helps his scoring average. But I also see where he's coming from. He's from the old school. So, the game is what it is. It always evolves. It's always changing. So you have to just take it for what it is. And, you know, they have some great players out there, some guys that I love to watch, you know, the Steph Curry, the Kevin Durant, the LeBron James, the Kyrie Irving, and stuff like that, the Dame Lillard. You got guys out there that are you know, exciting players. So, the game is always fun to watch, and it will always be fun. I love it.
Eddie House, ASU legend, number 5 jersey, being retired Saturday night. Sun Devils hosting Colorado at Wells Fargo Arena. Great to catch up with Eddie for a couple of minutes with Brad Sesmat. Do you prefer the college or high school game? Because I know you're around Team Dime and Little Bibby and that crew. Do you prefer being in a pro gym, high school gym, college gym, sitting watching games now?
To be honest with you, as long as it's a good game, it's good basketball being played, and it's looking the right way where it's not a blowout. Like I said, a good game, I don't mind. Man, I love basketball. I mean, even sometimes these little AAU games, you know, my son, he's 12. Their games, they get excited. They have good games. You know, they're close, nip and tough guys making the right plays. And you see guys getting better and, helping their teammates out defensively and making the right pass on offense and not being selfish. I mean, that's good. That's fun to watch, too, to see the kids develop from a very young age and start developing. Just like I've seen little Mike, develop, and now he's becoming a real good player, and he's just getting better and better. He's a sophomore now, but, you know, I've been seeing him since he was 11 or 12, you know, or even younger than that, actually. So
are you coaching your
– it doesn't matter. Basketball is basketball as long as it's played the right way.
Are you coaching your 12-year-old, Eddie?
Yeah, I do coaching.
Yeah, and AAU, you have your own club here in the Valley?
It's through Mike. They have a team, Bibby, and so I just took over for the coach that left. So I just stepped right in. I went from being a parent to a coach, and just try to help them out.
What do you tell 12-year? When you're coaching, what do you tell a 12-year-old about the game?
Well, first, all we work on when we have practice, we work on just defense and making sure that they're playing the right defense and sharing the basketball. I don't care if you shoot the ball, if you open, go ahead and shoot it. But I do care if you don't play defense. You could turn the ball over trying to make something happen. That's going to happen within the game. But the main thing is to always play defense and have those effort plays that you can control. You have to always do those things. You can't control making or missing shots. You can't do that, but you can control your effort on defense. You can control yourself getting out, making sure that you box out. You can control yourself being there for your teammate. If you're supposed to trap, you have to be there. So those are the things that I really – try to stress with them, and then to have fun with the game.
Have you had any crazy parents yet?
Oh, man, the whole gym is crazy. It's youngster gang.
Oh gosh, I know. I'm coach club too, and I've coached my kids, and I've got a 9-year-old now that's going to be. I'm 6'8". He's probably going to be 6'10", and he's just a big, big kid. But you're right. You walk in the gym and the parents are nuts. So
yeah, the parents are into it more than the kids sometimes.
Yeah, there's no question. ASU, so this thing on Saturday night, when I call it a thing, I don't mean that flippantly, but when they first said, hey, we want to retire your jersey, what were your thoughts on that?
I smiled on the inside, just humbled and happy. Just like, oh, okay, wow. Wasn't thinking about anything like that being like, oh, I should be getting my jersey. I wasn't on any of that hype. I was just, sitting back and found out about it and was just kind of threw back a little bit and just was, very appreciative of everybody that thinks that my jersey should be up there.
Why number 5? I've had some people said, why did Eddie House have number 5?
Jason Kidd was an inspiration, for me growing up in the Bay Area. He was like the the very first one that I had, that he was the first one that I seen make it, you know, go from, I see him in junior high, go to high school, go to college, and go to the pros. So, you know, he made the dream seem real, you know, to actually see it, you know, not from afar, but up close, you know, and personal. So it was because of that.
Have you shared with your son the 61-point night?
Yeah, they seen it.
Yeah, the whole game?
Yeah, they seen it. Yeah. You know, but you know their attention span, how that is.
Yeah, they're looking down, playing a game, and then it's like, hey,
yeah,
look at this,
right.
Look at this shot here.
No, they're not. They're their phone.
They're on their phone
all the time.
Yeah, they're on their phone. No, it's like, hey, look at what I did here with this three. I was falling. Yeah, right, Dad, got it. You know, I'm on Angry Birds right now. Just leave me alone.
That's what he is. Or on Instagram.
Right. Let me put a picture of Dad on Instagram. Get off my lawn. I'm playing Angry Birds. Come on. Well, look, it's good to hear your voice, and I'd love to have you on again and talk more about what's going on around the NBA and just basketball stuff in general. I'm a hoopaholic. I'm one of those that's willing to admit it, and I'm very, very happy for you. You meant a lot to a lot of people at ASU and keep the program moving forward.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Anytime, man. Just give me a call. Let me know. I'll talk hoops any day.
You got it. Thanks, Eddie.
All right. Take care.
Eddie House for a couple of minutes. That's on Saturday night at ASU, Sun Devils against Colorado. It's a big week for Herb, isn't it, Eric? Do you this week, you can't get swept at home by Colorado and Utah. And I know Colorado's very good. People are, you're downplaying Colorado. They lost their best player, okay? The game's at home.
Yeah, it's definitely hotter this week, I think, than it was last week. I mean, I know everyone was crucifying him after the U of A game, but let's be honest. Did anyone expect ASU to go down to Tucson
thrilled.
And win?
Right.
And like we talked about last week, Brad, look at the Sun Devils' schedule. They've lost one game, in essence, that they probably shouldn't have lost, and that's the home game against Washington. Other than that, they're still well above 500. You know, they've been playing without Jermaine Marshall. I don't know if he's going to play this weekend, but it's not – like, the sky is not falling. I don't know what did you want from ASU this year? Their RPI is up. They're not playing great, but it's a rut.
They have to make the tournament, Eric. Herb has got to make the tournament.
Yep, but if they do need to win both of these games this weekend, and they should. I mean, Utah's not good, and Colorado is a very talented team, but no Spencer Dinwiddie, so we'll see how that goes.
Colorado did
play pretty well last weekend without him.
Colorado has a kid, Jerron Hopkins, who is a high school kid here in the Valley. He was at Dobson and over at Basha. Shot the ball entirely too much, but he's filling in for Dinwiddie now. So we'll have that. I want to get over to the Super Bowl bets here in a second on the Omaha thing with Eric, but first, Santan Ford. Let's talk about Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company. I don't have some script in front of me that tells me what I'm supposed to talk about when I talk about people, when I do endorsements. It's because I actually use the product. A lot of guys in their business, they just want to get a check. I drive a Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. For the last 2.5 years, Tim Hovick has said to me, Brad, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, know that Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers are squarely behind you. And I'm squarely behind them. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me to drive around on my busy day. I've got the command center. I have plenty of legroom, headroom. Wherever I'm heading around the valley, I can go from meeting to meeting in my busy space and what I'm doing. I know over at Santan Ford, the service department does a great job. The people in finance do a great job. Whenever I'm in there, it's busy, and it's people that seem very happy. When I drive around town, you know those license plate holders where it says Santan Ford? That's not by accident. I mean, they're doing a very good job here in the Valley. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. That's at Santan Ford. Go to santanford.com or on our homepage, Sports360AZ. Click on the Santan Ford logo, and it'll take you right there. Appreciate their support. The number of times that Peyton Manning says Omaha. Eric, are you going to go bet this? You're going to bet on this one?
No, I'm going to stay away from it because I can easily see Denver taking Omaha completely out of the game plan. They did that a couple weeks ago against the Chargers. They you know, recalculated the pre-snaps and stuff because the Chargers were rehearsed to go on Hutt. And so Manning went on Hutt, and that's why the Chargers were offside 5 times in that game. So I'm staying away from the Omaha bet.
What if he says Lincoln? I mean, why don't they just pick a city out of Nebraska? I don't know. That's pretty good on your part, and you've got your gambling friends. You're a degenerate.
I'll look into it. Yeah. I always do.
Yeah, I know you do. Sports360AZ.com, plenty of content around Arizona. Appreciate AZCentral.com partnering with us as well. White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSusmat.